Hello, saltines. It is a little dark,
It's mood lighting.
but it's mood lighting.
Ambiance.
Yes, I like that I basically just fade into the background.
Yeah, we're both wearing black today, which is
It's apropos.
well, yeah, but it's also uncommon. Like I wear black all the time, but you usually have a little bit of color.
Feeling very, very black
It
lately.
was definitely kind of that kind of day.
Yeah.
Also, it is Black History Month.
Yes, there we go.
And that was one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about tonight.
Okay, cool.
But let's get some listener questions out of the way.
Awesome. So, this listener question comes from Natasha. Natasha, sent us an email through the shop and we answered, but I don't think they think we answered. So,
Well, now that I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm not I remember responding to Natasha
but like not
through
giving an answer.
email, but I don't know if it was actually something we talked about on the podcast.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome. So we're going to do this. Your first question is, if I wanted to get a spell working or energetic healing as someone who does not practice but believes in the power and ability of others, what are some things I can do to bolster what is being done? Would that even be necessary? Or is the person doing the healing slash spell working powerful enough to do the thing? So I'm going to answer this real quick. Most of the time, you're not going to have to do anything, especially in energy work. Any energy worker who's good at what they do and knows their modality well will know when they need to tell you something. You know, there are some times where I'll have to guide one of my clients through like some deep breathing just to make sure that like we're synced up. But other than that, no, that should be entirely on the healers or the energy workers' end. But if you want to do something to heighten your experience, you could do things like setting your intentions or your focuses during or before the energy work is taking place. You could even just be open and honest to your practitioner, letting them know, like, this is kind of what I want to experience. This is where I really want you to focus. And most of the time, we are going to go with our intuition, but we are going to take those things into consideration as well, because those are important to you. But usually, it's always a good idea to bring water. If there is anything that you can do to help us out, it is to bring water. Because if you bring water, that means that the instructions we give you afterwards, which is generally, drink lots of water, you're going to be already on that boat on your way to doing it. As for workings, like magical workings, that's entirely dependent on the working and the witch or practitioner themselves. I have homework assignments that I give my clients to do that I need them to do in order for things to happen. But then I also have some clients where I'm like, you know what? I don't really need you to do anything in this situation. I'll handle it. Like in Iron Crossing, if it's just something as easy as removing the evil eye, I divine, I remove it, and then just tell them to, be aware of what they're doing. And that's really kind of all I focus on. There's something bigger, that's a different story. Like a firewall or protection spell, you have to come pick up the thing that I need you to pick up. And don't make us wait, because if you make us wait for too long, we'll just deconstruct it.
That's kind of a nice segue into a couple of things I wanted to add in specific on magical workings or spell work. As you mentioned, as you clarified, Natasha, you mentioned somebody who's coming seeking this kind of work who is not also themselves a practitioner of some sort, right? And so it would make sense that a lot of people wouldn't have an understanding of what that would look like from the perspective of the practitioner, a situation like that. But things that you can do, without saying in a situation where the practitioner has not asked you to do any kind of homework, and most often you'll have some sort of personal work you need to do. If you're dealing with any kind of practitioner regularly that's like not having you do any kind of follow-up work on your own to support their spell work, I'm just going to say, and this is my opinion, but you're probably not really dealing with a legitimate practitioner, or at least someone that really knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I do want to say that big important things, okay? If you're going to seek someone out for spell work, be damn sure you know what you really want. Okay, don't come in to see us with a, well, I just want to feel a little more happiness in my life. Like, bullshit. That's a bullshit thing. And I'm going to tell you until you can give me something specific, don't bother to come back. when we do a spell for you, follow instructions. Okay. Be on time for your appointment, for your consultation. You know, if we have something we need you to do in the realm of homework and we've explained that to you and we tell you that it is key that you do this step, your personal step at midnight on Friday, right? You better do it at midnight on Friday. I've had this call with clients in the past where they've been like, well, I had this thing come up and it's usually something really dumb, you know, like they wanted to go to a concert instead.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and don't get me wrong, who doesn't love a concert? Right. But, concert, perfect marriage situation, which are you going to pick? Right. I guess it would depend on who's performing. Right.
It's true.
Anyway. But I had this person where they're like, well, I didn't get to do it tonight. So I just figured I'll do it next Friday night at midnight or next Friday at midnight. And I'm like, no, you won't, because it's not going to do anything, because you didn't do it when I told you it needed to be done. And it can't just be any Friday at midnight. It needed to be this Friday because Venus was in this position and the components of my spell were only going to hold the particular charge I needed them to for this time frame, and you're now a week past that time frame. So no, you're not gonna do this next Friday. And spell ruined, spell done. I'm keeping the money because you wasted my time.
Yep,
and couldn't follow instructions. And if you wanna do this at this point, you're gonna pay me for another spell.
Yep.
Because I'm doing all the work twice.
Yep.
Because you couldn't follow rules and your priorities are fucked up.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm being saucy tonight. It was a difficult day.
No, it's okay.
When we do your spell, do not bird dog us. Do not become a bugaboo. If we've done the spell and we've explained to you what it is that you can see, how you expect or can expect the work to begin, right? To give you those first few signs, right? Do not call us and text us several times every day for the next 2-3 weeks because you didn't see an immediate result, because shit takes time.
Yep.
And if it's something that you need in your life, that's going to be a big situation, it's going to take more time to develop for you.
100%.
Okay. That's a good note for practitioners though, as well. If you are doing spell work for other people, it is a good idea when they leave that consultation that you give them some kind of an idea of what to look for as a sign that the spell is in effect, and also how long it might take for them to get that sign. And that's another one of the reasons I find that divination is so beneficial, because you yes. can actually ask that in your consultation. When you're doing divination, you can actually ask, like, after the work is done, when can this person expect to see something?
Yes.
And what will that look like? Right. So that's better. And that can honestly be helpful for us to do, you know, but
it could also give us potential snags. We could see that and go, ah, there is going to be a little hitch.
Very so. True. Yeah. But I know you've had that client too, where like you've done the spell and then they harass you for weeks on end because they didn't immediately see Mr. Perfect walk into their lives, you know? And then that's usually when you have the conversation, like the example I made a moment ago, where I'm like, well, did you do the thing I told you to do? Like, well, no, I just figured I'd do it the next Friday. And I was like, this is why we haven't seen anything. You didn't listen. You didn't do your part.
Yeah.
And so there's that. Don't stiff us. I know a lot of witches and magical practitioners out there are very charitable people, and they will either work on a scale, which is what we typically do.
Yep.
Or they will give you freebies to start
yep.
with the understanding that you'll make good later on if you owe them additional something or you know, and if that happens, don't stiff us, because we are just as capable of taking that away from you as we were bringing it to you to begin with.
We'll get our payment one way or another.
Yes, we will. It's the mafia, right? It's like, you owe me a favor.
I know, yeah. Well, anyway. I mean, I'm going to follow that up with two things, and then we'll move on to the next question.
Okay.
Because it brought up some really cool examples of what can happen if a customer or a client does follow through.
Yeah.
So I had a client who listens to the podcast. So I will not use names because privacy is the thing. But they contacted me about a generational curse. And of course I'm like, sure. And so I sit down, I perform the consultation, my cards, my spirits are like, no, it's there. Like all right here. And they've already started doing the work. So because they're doing the mundane efforts already, which confirmed to me, because then I asked the client, like, so I see that you've been going through therapy. You've done this. Yes. Yes, I have. Okay, cool. Awesome. you know, it gave me a working that I had them do. And I warned them, I said, you're going to need to do it this way, with these herbs, with this ingredient, with this. And each time you do it, you need to say this. It was a seven week long working.
No way.
And it just so happened that through my divination, I was like, oh, and this is the perfect time to do it. And I kind of like looked at the things, what was going on. It was coming up to the new year. I was like, this is going to be banger. And my client, in the midst of doing their own research as well, saw that and went click. And my next conversation, like after all that happened, the next conversation I had with my client was, I feel so free. I don't know what to do now. Help. And so then that led us down another road. So that was really cool. So if you listen, shit works and it's really, really great. Okay. So second question, do we ship orders? I'd love to support the shop and what you do in general. The answer to that is very rarely.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. That's true. There are certain things that we're like, eh, okay. But you also have to understand we're very, 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 very busy. And so as of right now, no, we do not ship.
Not regularly. Also, just to kind of add a bit of an additional clarifier, a lot of the things that people want us to ship are not things that ship very well.
Yeah.
And we've had a number of situations over the years where we have tried to ship something to somebody, and by the time it's gotten to them, because the delivery, whoever company has not given a shit that the box is full of glass items, they when they receive their shipment, they have a bottle full of spilled oils and broken glass,
yeah,
and messy candle wax, and yeah. And then they're unhappy with the order, right? Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I shipped like 3 bottles of my Florida water, a big order one time, and it actually happened to where the box fell and broke open and one of the bottles shattered. So the packaging place just repackaged it without the extra bottle. And
so they thought you'd short of them a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so because it was the post office mistake, I had to pay for it still. Anyway, so there's your answer. Next. And thank you very much. Thank you, Natasha.
Was that it?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Okay. So we had a question from a saltine in Denmark.
Hello.
Hello in Denmark. We seem to actually trend pretty well with like the European and UK crowds. It's kind of weird actually where a lot of our listeners show up from. Like I think we're actually more popular, which is not to say we're popular. I don't know how, like you would actually. Well, I don't even know what our regular listeners, what the number of that is. you know, that's okay. And like I said, we've said it on the podcast before. We're not here to be popular.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot of international people.
We do.
That listen in, and then like not so many people here in the States.
Yeah.
Which is weird because I'm sitting here thinking the few podcasts I've listened to repeatedly over the years are all people in other countries. So it's kind of like the movie industry, right?
Where, yeah.
Where like England's always hiring American actors to be in their films, and we're always hiring English actors to play Americans. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. No, I totally get it.
So we have a listener question from someone in Denmark. They share some good information about just some of their personal experiences. The focus for their question is the issue of cultural appropriation.
Okay.
And we've talked about that before, even just a recently. Lot. You know, and so they're kind of relating some of their experiences here. The one that I found really interesting, okay, and this made me feel a little bit of a warm fuzzy when I read it, because I tend to think, and I feel I have a right to think this, I tend to think that the US of A, our little corner of the world here, I think that we tend to have a higher than average percentage of, well, morons. But we have a higher than average percentage of people that are likely to be like the spiritual colonizer, spiritual mm-hmm. bypasser, you know, quote unquote, light worker, new age community. But I guess that's actually not true. You know, so they were talking about a situation here where they were in looking at, because they've kind of gone through, it looks like they've had to deal with a lot of the the spiritual community, kind of similar to what we have here, mm-hmm. right? Where everybody just kind of thinks that like all of the metaphysical shops in the area are the same, you know, and then they come into ours and they're like, oh, you guys carry gator paws and bones and poisons. And where are all your pretty crystals? You know, mm-hmm. and we're like, no, this is our bag. If you want pretty crystals, go to the shop down the street. You know, when you burn through that and you realize it's all bullshit and you want something real, come on back and see us. Okay. And that's basically the conversation I find myself wanting to have with a lot of these people. But this list or the Saltine church that one of their common things that they see where they're at, and they're in Denmark, right? Okay. One of the most common things, the most common plant used to clean spaces, white sage. So that means, like, because we get frustrated with that here, but we're, to be honest, only a state away from where that would be grown originally, mm-hmm. that herb, that plant, and where it was most commonly used by the indigenous community, mm-hmm. right? So that, I'm like, okay, you know, it maybe makes a bit of sense that we continue to see such a boost around this, or this bullshit idea around white sage here, mm-hmm. and people. But they shared this, and I was like, that means they're importing white sage.
Yeah.
Because it's not really something I think that you might be able to get it to grow in the Mediterranean. Some of the parts of the Mediterranean that are drier, have like really intense summers. You could probably get it to grow there. Anyway. So well, I was
rosemary like grows wild there. Why would you?
Well, so, and that's the thing. They share that like they're in their metaphysical shops, people are reaching for the white sage when it has nothing to do with anything there. And they even go on to say that they're actually, we have our own plant here that we use traditionally to do this, but for some reason people still always flock to the white sage because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And they've been told for years and years and years by a very commercial, very capitalist new age system or community, right? That you need to buy this. Mm-hmm. You need to buy this to clean your house. You need to buy this to clean your house. Which is also bullshit because most of the time you don't need to clean your house. Your house is fine, right? So anyway, I just thought that was really fascinating. I'm like, oh my God, they're importing white sage.
Well,
to sell. You know, I was just like, wow. Like, I for sure thought there would be something else maybe that was kind of like the trendy new age thing there that was kind of maybe a little bit closer. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. They go on to say, how TF do I manage to explain about cultural appropriation and ethics in spiritual practice in simple words to these kinds of personalities in this area? And we deal with the same personalities from the sound of it. Okay. They say, and they qualify while still maintaining their sanity. And the first thing I'm going to say is that if you're dealing regularly with light workers and new age kinds of spiritualities and philosophies, if you're dealing with those people really consistently, there really is no way to maintain your sanity as it would relate to the integrity of your spiritual practice specifically, because those people have like a spiritual funk they will leave all over you. And those ideas that are so popular in the new age community, they're insidious, the way that they seep in mm-hmm. and infiltrate other people's spiritualities.
Yep.
So you can't. You know, and then we also have to look at the mundane things around just things like cognitive dissonance. That cognitive dissonance is a huge problem in the new age community. And it's weird because their whole purpose is about like expanding awareness, universality of consciousness, you know, leveling up, right? Fifth dimensional. There's always another dimension mm-hmm. to get to, right? It's like a ladder of some sort, right? And so it's weird because that's kind of the whole crux of most of those spiritual beliefs. But as soon as you give them an opportunity to actually learn by engaging and giving them verifiable information on something, right? Or something that is based, I would at least say, beyond just one person's UPG, mm-hmm. right? They immediately lock down.
Yep.
Like, it's so weird because they're all about learning and growth and they never want to learn and grow.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, the psychology. So anyway, do you have any suggestions on how they could go about having this discussion on these things like cultural appropriations, appropriation and ethics and spirituality with some of these people? What are things you have found personally effective? when you've tried, because I think you and I are both at a point right now where when one of these people kind of pops up with their bullshit, we just go, uh-huh. You know, and in my head, I'm thinking, get the fuck out of my store, you know, but I would never say that to them, right? Because I'm a nice person.
I usually just say, uh-huh. But when I do try, it's usually something along the lines of this. Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm a traditional witch. I kind of stick to like my roots and stuff like that. And then that usually makes them explain a little bit more what they're trying to say. And then from there I can go, oh, I know what you're talking about. It's actually this thing from this culture that actually is da 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 da. And they go, oh, I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, but if you want something that's similar and is going to work easier for you, try this.
give them like an alternative, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you can give them information, but if you actually present them with something else.
Yeah.
I think that's a very human thing. Like,
yeah.
I think if you tell us no, we're like, oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
Right. But if you tell us no, maybe, we're like, oh, well, let me hear your maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Another thing I've noticed with like, because we still get people who come in who want us to, who ask about white sage. And
I had one in just last night. She's going to drink it, which is fine. And actually there are, I believe, some other spiritual practices out there that do require drinking a tea of sage. So
anyway,
but this is a white woman.
Oh, so I've taken to when they ask if we, you know, if we carry white sage or sage, what I usually do, and it depends on how much they've gotten on my nerves. They've gotten on my nerves, then I go, oh yeah, and then I give them mugwort and they go, oh, it's so small and compact, and I go, oh, it's because I grow it myself and I wrap it myself.
You send them away with the wrong herb.
That's going to work much better. But or I'll go, we don't have white sage, but we have black sage.
Yes, which is what a lot of them can call mugwort. Yes.
Yes. And they go, oh, I've never heard of black sage. And then I can kind of go down that path. And then usually they'll end up doing that. And then I'll tell them about other things. Or if they ask, I just take them and I go, no, but we do have these. And these actually work a lot better. They're going to work much better for what you're looking for.
And then you just hope that they're open to hear that. Because a lot of times they're not.
Yeah. That, or I'll tell them, like, you know, because I've done this before, where I'm like, no, we don't carry white sage. And then they kind of like went on this diatribe about how they can't understand why we don't carry it. And da 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 da. And I just kind of said, tell you what, I will purchase you the rosemary bundle. I will purchase it for you. And if you take this home and you use this and say these things and do this, it's going to work. If it doesn't, you can come back and I personally will refund you the money. They came back in the next week, purchased more bundles of rosemary and brought more friends in so they could be educated. So offering alternatives, taking the path of least resistance, or trying to get them to explain what they mean. Because a lot of the times I've noticed these people will say something and
they don't really know what
and they don't really know what they're talking about, or they don't really know the context or the weight of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And so most of the time, if you just come from a place of compassion and
can it be wrathful compassion?
Yes, because I usually do that too, more often than not. But if you come from a place of compassion and understanding where it's like they're not educated, they obviously don't know these things, that can, one, make you go, look at me, I've done my job. Like, go me, I've done the work. Then you can move forward, or you can just go, I'm going to tell them.
Hair? Were you fixing your hair just then? You did this thing with your arm. What were you doing?
What
was that supposed to be?
This?
Yeah, no, you know, you with your other hand, you like were flicking back here when you were just explaining that, like you were flicking something.
Oh, I was itching.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought you were doing your hair.
No. but most of the time, if you take a place of just kind of calm, cool education, then you can kind of give them the alternative. And ultimately, it's up to them. They're going to have to be the ones to deal with spirits. And that's usually how I deal with it. I go, well, I did my best.
There you go.
Or if they are insistent on White Sage, I just go, the Native American Trading Post is actually just up the street from here.
It's true. And you can go there and you can buy White Sage. And there, at least you're buying it, even though you probably still should be using it because you're not an indigenous person. But
at least you're supporting the people who grew it.
You can buy it from an indigenous person.
Yep.
You know, and at least then they're getting the money.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure the Trading Post, I don't know what we're supposed to call that place anymore, because like the local community is like, we hate that place. It shouldn't be called that. That's awful. And there's a story around Trading Post, like what that, like,
mm-hmm.
like what that is in the indigenous community. Yeah. And I'm not indigenous, so I don't fucking know. Right. But apparently like there's some story around, not, I don't mean just that Trading Post, but just that term.
Yeah.
And the history of what that really is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, you shouldn't call it that. And I'm like, well, what do I call it? Cause I'm not sure what else to call it. And like that, the sign on the building, even though it's owned by indigenous people, is like the sign on the building says Native American Trading Post.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, where was that going with this?
I don't know.
Oh, you were talking about sending them to that place to go by the White Sage.
Yes. And support them.
No, you were making a point, I think, before that, and I cut you off. And
no, you were making a point, and then you went down a road.
What was my other point?
I don't know.
Shit, it doesn't matter. I think we kind of answered that one enough. I agree with your answers on this one completely. I also wanted to just add, like, or to kind of reiterate what you said, basically, mm-hmm. that sometimes you can't change someone's mind.
Yep.
Sometimes you just can't, you know? And in that situation, you have to, I think, prioritize your own peace.
Yep.
Over being right, right?
Yep.
In that particular moment. All right. Oh, they also mentioned that a very common thing in their area of the world is to take a course on how to become a FUFA.
Of course it is.
Which would make sense,
yes. Right?
Because the thing here is shamans.
Yes.
Right? Like you, yeah, everybody in the American Southwest is always wanting to become a shaman.
Yes. Yes. So instead of going to one of the indigenous tribes here and seeing what they can do and learn, they pay thousands of dollars and go to Peru.
Yes, where they meet with somebody who's just running a scam,
mm-hmm.
who touches them on the forehead and it pronounces that you're now a shaman.
Yes. Yes.
An Incan shaman.
An Incan shaman, yes.
Because it's always an Incan shaman. I went to Peru and I became an Incan shaman. It's like, you were gone for 2 days. You know, like, sure you did. Sit down, Kelly. Anyway, no offense to the Kellys there.
Unless you're one of those Kellys.
And if you're one of those Kellys, you need to be better.
And you probably don't listen to our podcast.
Okay. Actually, I hope those Kellys do listen to our podcast because they might fucking learn something.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Next question.
Let's see. I really like this Saltine's name.
Oh,
very, I like very it. Different kind of name.
Yes.
I'm not reading names, but
it's, I enjoy.
Yes, very cool. Thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you for, was that
and
it?
And for relating all the information, because like I said, because I found your message fascinating that you were seeing some of these things, you know, over, you know, like, basically the other side of the world, right? From where we are, you know, like I was just like, it never occurred to me that New Age shops in Denmark would be importing White Sage. And of course, there are people there trying to capitalize and offering bullshit classes on how to become a FUFA. Of course they are. Yeah. Fascinating. Okay. The other thing I have.
Oh my God. Could you imagine what it's like in Italy with all of the.
Oh, everybody's training people to be a striga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's see. Sorry. I'm going through my phone. Notes on my phone. Oh, come here.
This position is stretching my hip muscle.
Oh, I don't know.
And it feels really shit. Good.
Okay.
It's funny that my hip muscle made you think of the next thing.
Did it?
Yeah. Because I would.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Just be careful. It doesn't put it down to about poke your eye out with,
yes,
with my nail.
Don't do okay. that.
Especially in like a couple weeks, because I'm getting them long again. I'm going 4 inches on these. I'm serious. Like I do not want to be able to do anything with my hands. Nothing.
Except for clack.
Oh, I got a clack. You tongue pop. So I could do this because I can't tongue pop. I tried. I'm just not that gay. All right. So podcast question. So they actually suggested this. We do this as a topic, and we can maybe look into doing this a little bit later on, like a maybe to discuss this or flesh this conversation out a bit more. But for tonight, at least, I thought this would maybe be a cool question to address. So they relate some personal experiences, and I'm very familiar with this person. This is a friend who also has skills, natural abilities with spirit communication.
Okay.
So they state, as a medium, many of us understand the basics of how it works, but what do you do when you come across something truly dangerous when you're doing mediumship work?
They also want to ask if this... functioning from the perspective of a medium, or a medium who is also a witch?
It can be either, because I think that even people that don't go to the realm of witch, you know, with their practice, people who identify as medium, psychics, whatever they may use, right? There are things you can do purely psychically to defend yourself from malicious spirits without needing to go the route of spell work. So I think it could be both. So they want to know what basically that question. They also want confirmation if you and I personally have had to deal with something like this. I think we have, actually. You and I both have shared experiences on the podcast on prior episodes where we were out doing like house clearing or whatever, right? You know, and we had, you know, we kind of bumped into like, you know, something that was truly mean spirit.
Yeah.
And yeah, now to help get us some ruin our day.
Usually just eat those things.
Well, that's an interesting thing to talk about, actually. Maybe that would be one way that you could maybe throw in some information to answer this.
All right.
So so when you're out in a situation like this and you come across something truly dangerous or something that the first thing I want to say, I guess, to that is that it's really important. And if you are working as someone who's working mediumistically, you're doing regular spirit communication deliberately, you know. I think it's good to look very carefully at what we identify as dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there are a lot of spirits that you could bump into that could be certainly maybe mischievous, or spirits that might even be a little trickster-like in the way that they communicate with you even. We get that quite a bit at some of our seances. it's what happens when you just throw the room open wide. When you're... I'm trying to pull that back a little bit because I think there's a better way for me to explain this. No, that's okay. Anyway, but we need to kind of look more carefully at what we identify as dangerous.
Yes.
Right. Because sometimes maybe not, right? It could look scary, you know, when you're in the same room with it, whatever it might be, it might feel uncomfortable, but is it actively doing anything to harm you? You know, there's a distinction there. So that's one of the first things I think that people need to talk about, or that we need to maybe honestly discuss. Okay. One thing I have found really helpful when I've been in a situation where I've had to deal with something like this, and this is going to sound very counter to maybe what a lot of people would think, because a lot of people tend to go into this like, oh, I got a lockdown, like Fort Knox, power, shield, protect, right? You know, and when I run into situations like this with spirits that have been, you know, getting malicious, rather than closing down and putting up my armor, I've actually stepped more into a position of openness.
Okay.
And beyond that, I have in that moment projected things like energies around compassion and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say love necessarily, but kind of like I'm not here to cause any trouble. And in fact, I would very much enjoy communicating with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've noticed that approach, I love bomb them.
You go into puppy dog eye mode.
I had to say that just because Daddy's in the room and we were talking about love bombing earlier. Anyway, yes, we have a visitor. I was gonna say in studio, but this is fucking definitely not a studio. This is our dining room, living room, kitchen area. Anyway,
listen,
what?
It works. It's great. And people love it.
Oh no, yeah, it's fine. And I think sometimes you and I have days where it's nice for us to be comfortable.
Yes.
When we do this, because yeah, before we've recorded in a freezing cold garage. We've recorded in other people's basements. We've had some very interesting working spaces for this mess of a podcast.
But it's our mess of a podcast.
Yes, it is. Okay. So that would be one other thing I would recommend. I think that people are really nervous about something like that. They're like, oh, well, if I'm nice to it, if I'm kind to it, then it'll think I'm weak, or oh God, worse, or it'll follow me home, right? Like people have these weird ideas.
Well, and what that also projects is that you're not afraid of it.
Exactly.
And a lot of people think that to counter fear, you try and out scare something.
Well, it kind of does depend on the
It
spirit.
depends on the
And
spirit.
I was gonna throw a little clarifier into the back of this answer on, like that this what I do, this process where I open up more. I will say, like, there are situations where I won't do that.
Yes.
And the only way I can really explain that is the spirit feels different. Like you get this sense that, like, oh, this spirit is a pain in my butt, but I'm not gonna worry about it. This one over here, I know I probably need to be worried about, not afraid of, but worried about,
It's the way I can describe the feeling is it's like if it's the difference between just going through someplace that is potentially dangerous. It's like you're moving through the forest and there's a bear eating something and it notices you and it looks scary and it's telling you like get the fuck away from me and you just kind of like continue and do your thing. The bear's gonna go back to eating the deer.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll hope.
But then there are those other cases where you are being hunted. It is that, like, no,
Yeah.
I'm going to eat you. I'm going to kill you. I am going to wreck you.
Whether they have the power or not,
Whether they have the
really.
power or not.
It's like you said, it's kind of like that predatory nature,
Yeah.
that different types of spirits can develop.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You haven't
Likewise.
gotten to the point you were making. I interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, that was my
Oh,
point.
was it? Oh,
Yeah,
okay.
just to kind of like give an example.
Gotcha. Okay. So that would be one thing I would try. If they are a spirit that are going, that is like, oh no, I don't want to try to talk to this one. I need to shut this one down. That'll be where you want to like have some sort of protective something going on.
Yeah.
And you'll probably get a sense as a practitioner when you're about to go into a situation where you're anticipating communicating with something that could be a negative kind of an energy or a mean kind of a spirit. You'll get a sense, and you'll typically have something going on prior to even entering that space or engaging that spirit that is already like working to protect you. That's why we wear our talismans and things, right? Is because they keep that energy going for us while we're not consciously able to be working that spell,
Yes, that's why people
right?
wear their black tourmaline.
Oh God. Anyway, one of the other things I have found is helpful. And there will be different methods for protection. I wanted to add that on there. People will protect in different ways. In looking at other things, I want to just say, when you every spirit that you encounter is going to be just like a human person, right? They're all different. They're all going to require slightly different approaches, and we have to kind of learn ourselves well enough to be able to understand what we need to do for ourselves in the moment, because that will typically inform other actions around maybe what we need to do for that thing or about that thing, right? But beyond that, again, it all, I think, tends to be very instinctual. I don't know that there is a standard, like, this is how you medium
True.
like process,
Yeah, because
right?
everyone's
Because
different.
we're all different and every spirit is going to be different. But one of the things I was going to say is another thing that I found really helpful when I found myself in a situation where I'm interacting with a malicious spirit is
Yep.
I leave. I pack up my shit and I walk out of that building. Or I will physically leave the area for a moment or two, because typically these are spirits that are not, they're not going to be able to follow you. Like they might be curious, they might try, but it's a very rare spirit that has the ability to actually follow you home. You know, one of the reasons that you have to go to that place to talk with them is because they're kind of set in that place, and it's very difficult for them. They would need to have access to some other really strong influence of power temporarily to leap from that situation to another, to be able to follow you home, in essence, right? That's not going to happen. You know, yeah. Well, I won't say it couldn't happen, but I'm like 99.9999999% that that's fucking not going to happen. Anyway, so they do ask here if we have personal experiences, and I'm like, we do, you and I both have several, but I don't know that I want to go into all of that right now.
Yeah, no.
You know, I've found, and maybe touching upon that a bit, I have found that over the years when I've run into or I'm having a spiritual situation, an encounter of some sort like that, and it's something that really is for me either a new kind of an experience or a very different kind of communication. Oh, that's what that is. I just figured it out. Your thing. I did a little bit of a thumbs up thing, and your thing did a thumbs up thing on your computer. I'm like, oh, it only does it once for the maybe it was the way I did it. Like, I'm not happy with that motion. This right here. This seems very inappropriate for some reason. I don't even know why. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was wrong. I thought it was just weird timing, I guess. Like, I did a thumbs up, and it was like, oh, and I was like, I was talking about ghosts. Your laptop's fucking, dude.
I don't know if the viewers see that.
No, they do, because I posted, we posted the episode from last week where it did the balloon thing.
Oh,
And there was a point because I remember that shit. So I got into where she posted that thing, and I fast forwarded to that point in the video, and I was like, let's see if these damn balloons pop up, ruin my podcast real quick, you know. And I'm doing this in the bathroom, like brushing my teeth, you know. And those little fucking balloons come wandering up the screen. I was like, damn it. It's gotta be a Zoom thing, I would think. Is there a thing where you can go in and like disable, like, it's almost weird because it's almost like it's like anticipating emojis. What other things can we do? What if we do a
Antisemoji.
thumbs down? How about I love you, or praise Satan? Wait, is it, wait, is it the, is it thumb, it's thumb over, right?
Yeah.
I did this. I was like, no, that looks like you're trying to do like a bunny rabbit.
Quiet coyote.
Actually, that looks definitely more like a snail. Mine is not a. Hey,
Hey,
what's going on?
nothing much.
Oh my God, we are so dumb. Okay, anyway, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I need to wrap this up. I do think excuse me, I think it's important when you have any kind of an experience or spiritual encounter that is for you either new or just, you know, just kind of set you off a little bit, right? When you talk about fear or upset of some sort, I think it's always good to document those experiences. You know, I get into the habit of documenting things, spiritual things that I have happened in my life regularly, good or bad, because for me, when I go back and look at those things later, they give me the opportunity to kind of validate how things kind of actually did evolve around that situation, kind of like hindsight, right? But it's weird because I've had a number of situations where it's like it's almost read like a story. Like, I go back and I look at the, you know, whatever it is, the, you know, the communication, whatever it is I've got, right? And I kind of review that information, or kind of go back and connect to the emotion and the experience.
Captain Locke, day 12.
Exactly. Yes, the captain's log. And in doing that, it gives me
Today,
the
while I was
ability
brushing my teeth.
to cut. Exactly. Yes, right. Yeah. Usually, isn't that the things? Like, those captain's logs were never that exciting. I was like, today, got up, ate biscuits and laser tea, and then I went to another part of the ship and basically did nothing. I hit a couple buttons because everything's computerized now, and I don't ever have to work or make any effort to live life. And then I spent the rest of the day doing nothing, being bored, and then I went back to my room because it was time to go to bed. But nobody really knows when it's time to go to bed because it's space outside and it's always dark. So you could go to bed whenever you wanted to, or not wake up at all, which is probably what I would do. Anyway, oh my God. Anyway, documenting shit helps. is what I'm going to go back to with that. Okay. And I'm just going to say, it does. Because one of the other benefits to that, though, is as you continue to kind of do the work, and it's important that you do the work. A lot of people have that scary moment. And for whatever reason, like they let that shut them down and they go, I'm not going to do this again. And that's the wrong way to handle a situation like that, because the likelihood is if you've gotten to that point where you've actively connected and have communicated with the spirit in some way, there really isn't a whole lot you can do to pull that back. Like, you're open like that now. That's you now, you know, and whether you want it or not, you're going to probably have additional spiritual encounters.
This is me now.
You what?
This is me now.
There you go. Exactly. This is me now. But it gives you the ability, if you've documented those experiences, it gives you, I'm going to finally fucking finish this point now. We're getting off of these weird, whatever nonsense things. When you get to that point where you've got a few of these kind of documented, you can go back and you can kind of, again, check in and revisit how you handle things in that moment. It'll set you up to handle those things ideally differently mm-hmm. in future. Beyond that, it could also give you a clear idea of maybe what you might need to do to protect yourself. Because, you know, if you're someone who has a spiritual encounter and your initial response, this is typically what happens to me when I go in. It didn't when I was younger, because then you're still kind of, you're new and you're kind of feeling a little bit of fear or hesitation, right? But as the years progress, and I don't want to, you know, make myself sound like I think I'm a badass, because fuck, I'm not. But as you do this long enough and you have enough of those experiences, you start to get a sense of, I looked at you and I lost the track of my conversation again.
You start to get a sense of confidence and assurity. It's a sense of like, I know what I can handle. Yeah. I know what I can't. And it's almost like you get preemptive when you're like, if you're preparing for that. Cause I've had that happen before where like, I get nervous to go do like a house clearing or something. And like, it's like that entire day I'm dreading it. Then I know most likely there's going to be something there, because that's what our spirits and our guides do, is they warn us. So listen to those things. And when you're feeling that prior to those situations, because you'll always have those warnings, you'll always have that. If you have a connection with your spirits, which you should, if you're doing this type of work, then you'll be very aware. And when you feel that, allow yourself to kind of step into it. So that way you can actively prepare yourself. Okay.
Okay. I remember the point I was trying to make a moment ago before I lost track again. You just said that in a moment ago. You said you'll, and I heard you'll be swell. You'll be great. It was like a very Ethel Merman moment that went through in my head right now. And I was laughing at what you over here. I was laughing at that while I was listening to what you were saying. Anyway, if you're someone who goes into spiritual encounters, you have these kinds of situations, right? And if you're like me, when I have those moments now at this point, as I've done this enough over the years that I've seen enough shit that it takes a lot to spook me now, I tend to react angrily.
Mm-hmm.
Like if something surprises me, like I'm one of those people, like if you scare me, I'm going to punch. Right. And that's just my instinct. It's like, oh, you know, and so it's the same with spirits. Like I find if I go into a situation and I have a spirit actually get me, like I'm not anticipating or I'm not ready for the encounter. My first response typically is anger. Like, I'm mad at you. You got me. Right. So what I've found over the years is it's good to pay attention to how you react in situations, because if you're going to be doing any kind of protective work or any other kind of work or you're around, you know, shielding, you're wearing talismans that are helping you to protect or shield. In that moment, you want to, I think, consider like if you react in anger, maybe fire and power and protection isn't the way to go. Maybe instead it should be focusing on keeping you calm, right? That would be a better talisman in a situation like that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to maintain my calm, even if I run into something that's scary. Even if I feel like I know that I'm in my own power. I'm centered and I can be calm, right? And that would be, I think, a much more effective talisman for someone who is likely to be very fiery and angry to begin with. I think it's good to kind of consider those things as well. We don't always need to go in with brute force, fire, and protection, right? There are other ways to handle shit.
Most definitely.
I will say, If you are someone, just for our listeners on here, if you are someone that is dealing with particular types of autoimmune health issues, systemic kinds of things, maybe around like circulatory system, these kinds of systems, like things that are like the systems of your body, right? You need to take extra special care.
Yes.
If you're doing regular spiritual work, you for sure, you need to figure out a way to protect yourself. Because a lot of those spirits will latch on and take advantage of you. You're already, unfortunately, and it's not just people who are like dealing with autoimmune issues. It could be people maybe that are terminally ill.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen a lot with like people that are like in really serious states of depression or addiction.
Yeah.
Right. Because you were, for whatever reason, you're not at 100%, right? And for some reason that seems to be a little bit of a window for certain spirits, particularly parasitic things, to kind of latch on, right? While you're in a space, and they'll drain you real quick. So I don't know. I just think it's, I wanted to talk about that because I think people get very narrow in the way that they approach things, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, everything is like cleansing, protection. You know, and then like every 16th or 17th time, you know, you get like a healing spell, right? Anyway, yeah. So it's nice to, I think, kind of think outside the box a little bit.
I agree.
How else can I handle this? Sorry, I'm rambling again.
No, good. I like it. You thinking outside the box is actually a really good thing for a lot of people. that's one of the ways that I like to teach people to do spell work divination. Especially if you're familiar with tarot, you know, certain things are aligned with certain stuff. And so it can help you think outside the box because automatically people are candle spell. And it's like, okay, does this situation need more fire?
No.
So unless you know how to work with fire really, really well, because fire can be very tame and very, very good for certain things. Anyway, so any other questions?
No, I was done with my questions here.
Okay.
But I was going to say it would be good for us. Maybe at some point we'll revisit this, kind of just this line of the conversation. You and I should maybe we could present a couple things around the podcast around like very quick and effective spells for protection,
okay,
or shielding, or other processes or means of being able to do that. Like even with taking witchcraft out of the equation, there are exercises and things I learned. As I was developing some of my psychic ability over the years, there are absolutely things that you can do. You can do projections. You can work with the aura. You can do things even without going into the realm of witchcraft to still facilitate protection. We should do that. Can you use Reiki for time?
Yes, you can.
Like, can you make a light shield?
Yes.
Can I have like a light shield at this hand, but then a light sword in this hand? Sure. Okay. I promise I won't use the sword to hurt anybody. I won't run with it. Because accidents happen. I'm going to use my shield to knock people out with Reiki. And then I'll use my... So I don't like how I'm thinking about using the sword right now. I'll use the sword as
a... psychic surgery.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Thank God you were here. It's like you could read me like a book. A dumb perverted book. Anyway. Oh my god. Okay. Are we done?
We're done.
Are we going with it?
Thank you so much. If you have any other questions, let us know. We will be back next week. Obviously, we will have a guest, I believe.
Next week we are going to have Jack.
Awesome. We look forward to that. Prepare yourself. It's going to be great.
I think so.
Yeah. So anyway, happy witching and stay salty.